In this episode, the Serenity Sisters is joined by Kristen, co-founder and chocolate scientist of Seven Summit Snacks, and Hussam, team lead of Futurepreneur, a Canadian nonprofit that provides financing, mentoring, and support to business owners aged 18 to 39. Kristen discusses her journey and the guidance she has received from various Futurepreneur programs.
Other opportunities that they've offered us through some of these other learning activities that they provide. I was part of a growth accelerator program about a year ago. That was very beneficial to me. And then again, Hussam just acknowledging in the last couple of weeks that we need extra support with mentorship, him taking the time to work with me to figure out how we can make that happen that works for our business and where we are now.
Rita highlights an example of a food company she worked with that expanded quickly into a number of stores and why sometimes getting bigger orders isn't always better.
She went to the retail, they put her in 26 different locations, and then she called me and said, "Hey, guess what? This is what happened. Aren't you excited for me?" And I said, "No, I'm scared crapless. I am scared crapless because the amount that you're putting out to them is quadruple what you've ever done before. We're talking quality control checks, all of these things that we've got to make sure are in place." And then on top of it, I said, "Well, when do they pay you?"
At Serenity Now for Entrepreneurs, we love sharing stories of business growth and the resources available to business owners along the way. Futurepreneur is geared towards helping aspiring entrepreneurs with competitive loans and support at the startup and early stages of business. If you are an entrepreneur between the ages of 18 to 39, learn how Futurepreneur can help you. We hope this episode can bring you knowledge that leads you to some serenity now. Let's take a listen.
Welcome to another episode of Serenity Now for Entrepreneurs. I have sisters Peggy and Rita joining me today. And Rita, you've brought us a guest. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about your guest and how you know him.
Sounds good. Thank you and welcome everyone to another episode. We found a gentleman by the name of Hussam about a year or so ago. And Hussam is our leader of the Alberta Futurepreneur. We were introduced by Andrea Welling, who is our BC Futurepreneur head. And so Andrea and I go back about a decade. Hussam and I go back about a year. But I think we've just spent so much time immersed in talking about farm and farm life alongside business for the past year that I feel like I know him just as well at this point. I'm just going to hand it over to Hussam. Can you give us a little bit of a background, a little bio, a little spiel about yourself?
Thank you for having me on and thanks for the kind introduction. I've been with Futurepreneur for 7 years now. Most of my work's been focused around the business development side of what Futurepreneur does. And we work with youth entrepreneurs to help them start businesses, so 18 to 39-year-olds. Prior to that, I worked for the Edmonton Chamber of Commerce. Prior to that, for a marketing company. And then I've also run my own businesses over the years. So, and the most recent project, which is the farm, is what Rita and I have sort of connected on.
On a day-to-day basis, then, what is it that we find you doing, Hussam?
Yeah, so a big part of our work is sort of working with entrepreneurs at a very early stage in their startup journey. So they're at a stage where they've decided or established an idea that they want to work with. They might have done some background work on it. Some haven't. So they're still just past the ideation stage. We'll work with them to get them to a point where they're ready to launch, right? So a lot of that is around, you know, helping them with their strategy, getting them connected into some of our internal resources like the Rock My Business Plan series. We have an EIR program, and then we support them in the business planning stage, so helping them write a business plan, helping them write cash flow projections. Now, the entrepreneur sort of taking these items, submitting it as an application to us, and applying. And what they're applying for is anywhere between $5,000 and $60,000, which is structured as a non-collateral loan. And so because it's non-collateral, the way we reduce our risk for lending is we provide 2 years of one-on-one mentoring. And so that mentoring helps us reduce our risk with funding an entrepreneur, but then also gives the entrepreneur a resource to be able to bounce ideas back and forth, right? And yeah, we help them sort of get to that point, and then they're off and into the startup world.
You've brought a guest with you today who happens to be an entrepreneur. Did you want to introduce her, or do you want her to introduce herself? How would you like to start with that?
I think it'd be awesome if she can introduce herself, because I know about her sort of through my work, but I don't know as much as I should, right? So it'd be awesome to get her to introduce herself.
All right. Kristen, welcome to an episode of Serenity Now. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself, your business,
Super. Thank you so much for having me on. We're looking for opportunities to share a story and gather feedback as we grow our business. And this is a great opportunity. I've listened to the show and love the dynamic that you ladies have. So thank you, Hassam, for introducing me. So my name is Kristen. I'm the co-founder of Seven Summit Snacks. We're a superfood chocolate company that is positioned for the outdoor enthusiasts. We're telling you that chocolate's good to eat when you're outdoor and when you're outdoors and being active, because it is. So we've tidied up a chocolate bar, use ethically sourced ingredients, really ingredients you know and understand, and packaged in a sport-friendly packaging. So it's on the go and purposeful. Yeah, we started this company about 3 years ago with my sister and another co-founder. And we're, yeah, just hit our 3 years, 2.5 years in sales. And honestly, we wouldn't be here without Futurepreneur. We needed that loan. We needed that loan to scale our business and get us going. And as three 30-somethings millennials who don't appreciate how money works sometimes, we needed the help. And so we didn't have the collateral to put down. And this was honestly something that was a godsend for us. So we're very thankful for what Futurepreneur has done with us and also for the support we continue to receive from them.
Did Hassam pay you to say this? I mean, this is quite genuine how it's coming out. And I think if you can't see perhaps our faces, but Hassam was just absolutely riveted. He's blown away. Just he had no idea she was going to say this.
I'm really curious. So how did you find out about Futurepreneur in the first place? Because I think the hardest thing is when you start out is you know you have a need, but who do you go to? How do you get funds? That's you know, guidance that might be helpful to others.
Yes, absolutely. So we launched on a crowdfunding platform to basically validate our business idea. And once we recognized we were onto something, it was trying to fund it so we could, we're a product-based business. We need inventory. Therefore, we need cash up front. One of our other co-founders who has since left did the diligence in speaking to various banks, service credit unions, just to figure out how we could get funding. And she came across Futurepreneur as, again, three millennials who didn't have any assets to put behind anything. We needed the help that we could get. It worked out for us. We went through the business plan templates that they had online, put our startup plan together, and it was approved. It made sense to Futurepreneur, and they forwarded us the money, and we were able to get on our feet and go.
I'm going to make a quick comment, Hassam. You had mentioned in your intro about Futurepreneur, you used an acronym. So we need to break out this acronym. What is EIR? What is that? What does that stand for?
EIR is Entrepreneur in Residence. So we have a number of entrepreneurs that we employ because of their vast experience and being able to sort of launch and sustain a business. And so they run sessions specifically that are geared towards learning for entrepreneurs that are going through that journey. And then once they've gone through that session, they get one-on-one access to that entrepreneur residence for really personalized approach in breaking down how their business works and how to move it forward.
Kristen, did you take advantage of working with the EIR?
We started out on that route. And honestly, we found, I think with mentorship in general, it's challenging to find someone who takes the time to really understand your business and give you the support that you need. It's been a bit of a rocky journey in finding mentorship and using the EIR program that is in place. But we've had so many other benefits from working with Futurepreneur through other opportunities that they've offered us, through some of these other learning activities that they provide. I was part of a growth accelerator program about a year ago. That was very beneficial to me. And then again, Hassam just acknowledging in the last couple of weeks that we need extra support with mentorship, him taking the time to work with me to figure out how we can make that happen that works for our business and where we are now.
With the mentoring, what had happened in Kristen's case is the mentoring relationship didn't work out. And they are human relationships, so that sometimes things do break down. And yeah, we do our best to sort of like mitigate that where we can. And if a new match is needed, then we'll figure that out.
Sounds like you got great support.
I've felt really supported. Like a bank doesn't give you this support. That's for sure. But the extra programming and really just the want to work with the entrepreneurs is what I've felt from the company.
You started off with crowdfunding. Fantastic. You validated it and you said, well, some other people may be interested in what we're doing. So this sounds good. Somehow you found Futurepreneur through your other colleague, got involved with them. They leveled you up to get past into getting into locations and such with chocolate apparently that you can have when you're outdoors.
How about indoor chocolate? I want indoor chocolate.
You can have it anytime. Although we have hikers on the package.
I just finished golfing. I probably could take it golfing. I think that qualifies as outdoors.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. So tell us now about where you're at with your journey and how's your growth coming along? And
yeah, we doubled our business in the past year. And what we've done really is we've gone from servicing Edmonton. We started with like 10 to 12 stores in the Edmonton area, independent running, hiking, cycling shops, things like that. And now we're in over 100 stores in Western Canada. Still really just independent hiking, running, kind of those outdoor stores. And we're now into the Sobeys local retail program. So something that was really important for us was to develop brand awareness through our core customer. So that when you go to the grocery store and you know there's a lot of energy bars and a lot of chocolate bars on the shelf, that there's recognition and people will pick us up. So now we're at this stage where we're trying to go into traditional retail, and we need to see the sales velocities go through there. And so our biggest challenge now is how do we market to the everyday person, or how do we get those new people and new consumers who haven't seen our bars yet to want to pick us up off of shelf. Something I battle with is how, like, that marketing spend in your cash flow budget, how much should you be spending on that? And actually, when you're an early stage entrepreneur, like that magical 10% rule, like, I don't think that's sufficient. And so it's like working out how those marketing activities should look for a product-based business that's trying to really get some traction.
Yeah, I was going to say our marketing expert isn't here, but I think that's an interesting comment you made, because I think for most businesses, and I certainly know, I mean, I had a service-based business, but when I started out, it was 80% marketing and 20% doing what I actually knew how to do. So I really strongly believe that you're right on the 10% part. I mean, you just got to pound the pavement at first. You've just got to get out there and be recognized.
So I have a question, because, you know, this is what we're going to do now, is we'll start pestering you with some questions and seeing if we can try to help move you forward a little. So you said you worked successfully with independents. You went from 10 to over 100, which is amazing. Congratulations. You know, at such an early stage. And why do you want to actually go into traditional retail? Because it seems like these independents are working quite well for you.
Yeah, the independents are, they work well, they're hard work. So that's 100 different relationships I have with people, versus you pick up a chain and you have now one point of contact with 10, 20, 50 stores behind it. So we're now trying to grow the business that way. So one email has more power than just a one-on-one, but still recognizing and maintaining those personal relationships with the stores, the independent stores that we have.
There's always a double-sided sword on that one, because, you know, the large stores are actually not as easy to deal with either, I think. And a lot of their policies are not friendly to small independent businesses.
Absolutely. And that's what we're starting to learn now.
At the beginning of this podcast, that you said you didn't really know anything about finances or money. I think I can't remember exactly what you said, but you sound very knowledgeable. So you've picked up a lot.
Yeah, I think that's part of being an entrepreneur, is you wear all the hats, and you have to know. You can't just spend the money and because you feel like it. You have to kind of know what you're spending it on. And we're learning every year what worked, what didn't work. But again, when you have a little amount of money to spend on, let's say, marketing efforts, when you have a list of 10 different ways you can spend that, it's trying to figure out what's going to work, how long you stick with that, and what's going to have the most impact. So we tried something last year by doing in-person events and sampling and demoing, and that worked well with our core community. Now, as we move into some bigger retailers, should we spend on ads? Should we spend on promos in stores? Like, how does that look? How, like, we can't travel everywhere. We traveled literally everywhere last summer. So it's just trying to figure those challenges out.
So I've seen this happen many times in the growth stories. And you hit the nail on the head. There's two different ways or two approaches that you're talking about right now. One, can we do it, right? Where you're being the ambassador for your company to go in and build all these relationships out. Two would be, can you look and speak with distributors, right? And then they have their ambassadors on the ground in all these different locations and have built up relations with these different traditional retailers. And then you go to the next step. Well, what's the pros and cons on both of those, right? So that's why we have to start with what's the first question, which is why are you going into traditional? Yes, we understand, you know, one point, perhaps many different locations. But as Candace had mentioned earlier, then there's a cash flow issue there. So one of the big things you do need to find out straight away as you chat with these retailers is, when do you actually get paid? So I'm going to do a quick chat about cash flow cycles, because I think this is really important and a lot of people don't count their days. So day one, you're going to be basically ordering your product, ordering all the raw ingredients, and then you're going to be using your staff, using your manufacturing, etc., to create this product. And then you have it ready to go. I don't know what that timeline is. We'll call it one day to make it easy. We know it's not going to be one day. Then you have to get it out to your customer. So let's just call it a big, nice big retailer. So we'll just use Sobeys as an example. So day two, you get it there, and it might not be day two. And then they say you can invoice us. Do they invoice on the day of the order, which may have been 3 weeks ago? Is it the day they receive it? So you count those days. Let's just say that you're allowed to invoice the day that you deliver it. So that's day two. And then they say, well, we'll pay you in 90 days. So now we're at 92 days. We know that's not right. We know that Kristen likely had to order raw ingredients and stuff 30 days in advance. So we're now potentially at 4 months at this point, and she's already paid out for raw ingredients, for labor, for packaging, for getting all this out there. So 4 months of holding this one receivable, and then you say 20, 30, 50, 100 stores. So always make sure you count those days. Always make sure you count those days, because that's a huge piece of understanding which retailer you may or may not wish to decide to go with. I had a client a long time ago, and she kind of in your space and just gone on with a large retailer. I won't say the name because we always get concerned about privacy. And she went from, and her days to manufacture her product, which is all clean, healthy food, it took her 45 days because there was specific process involved in it. So she had to hold that 45-day carrying cost. She went to the retailer, they put her in 26 different locations, and then she called me and said, hey, guess what? This is what happened. Aren't you excited for me? And I said, no, I'm scared crapless. I am scared crapless because the amount that you're putting out to them is quadruple what you've ever done before. We're talking quality control checks, all of these things that we've got to make sure are in place. And then on top of it, I said, well, when do they pay you? It was 180 days, Kristen. That's one really, really big thing for growth. And so I know I took a moment to walk through that, but it's really important to always count your days. And people say, where's the money? Well, that's where it's at. There's ways to finance all of it from beginning to the end. You can look at all of those pieces. We can talk that through that perhaps in another episode. But so getting into it is great and exciting and wonderful, but being cautious. Right? And cautious on your growth strategy. So we don't just jump into things like some other people have done in the past. I think I've taken up a lot of air time. I'll hand it over to Candace or Peggy. You probably have a couple of things to say. And even Hussam, you can jump in.
I think actually we're getting close to the point where we're going to do the quick fire actually. So you've got some thoughts that you'd like to get out, or maybe some questions that you'd like to ask Hussam or Kristen. This would be the time. And I am going to start with Peggy.
I've seen so many businesses in my career, because as a shred provider, you go into every different kind of business everywhere. And I remember one of my food clients specifically, and that's the reason I mentioned, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword to play with the big guys. He actually ended up pulling out of Costco. I remember him saying to me that if he could go back and redo it over again, he would never have got rid of those little locations that helped him start out. And he went all in with Costco, and then he had to pull out because their policies were so unfriendly for his small type of business that catered to a really nice product with really high-end ingredients and, you know, obviously really good quality production. Small though, very small. So he said that he wished he had never got rid of this personal relationships. So that's just something that his wisdom, not mine, I want to pass on to you, because what got you where you are can really be something to sustain you through that growth phase. I think it's really exciting, and I think we shouldn't lose sight of what got us where we were.
I was going to say, congratulations again. I think it's awesome. I'm so excited that you used Futurepreneur, not used, partnered with. Congratulations on actually picking that up. And I hope maybe just that in our podcast will have helped another entrepreneur reach out to perhaps Futurepreneur. The second thing is to be able to have an idea and put it on crowdfunding. That's great, you know, but actually moving it forward to what you've done so far is pretty fantastic. So congratulations on that as well. The next steps, I'm the risk person, so I'm going to say the things that I said. And that's why Peggy's also saying the things that she said. We've just seen so many things and those bigger retailers, yeah, if you're not prepared for them, and if you haven't, you know, solidified your cash flow currently and actually had the chance to actually say, this is what we want to go to. We want to go to five of these big retailers or start with one. And we anticipate, you know, this increase. Well, run the cash flow. Run the projections, do the month by month, and do it several times. Throw it back at the entrepreneur in residence, you know, pick up the phone, call all of us and, you know, say, am I on the right track here? Because that's what you really want to walk through. As step one is to flush that out and when you actually will need the money, because you've counted your days, you figured out how much, when you have to pay your suppliers, when you have to get your money back from the customers, and when you have to pay your staff, right? And when you might need to look at perhaps ramping up production, maybe it's machinery, maybe it's something else, because you need to figure that out. So there could be a few steps in place before the next big retailer that you're looking at. I guess that would be about my only comment is work out that strategy, that growth strategy, take your time on that.
Yeah. So I think the thing that I'd like to revisit is around the marketing side. I think that's sort of like where my knowledge sits. So it's something that's been sort of swirling in my brain. And I feel like the way I've perceived your brand, right, is very much on the side of a niche, right? It's specific to a very, very targeted audience. I feel like, have you considered looking into influencer marketing and other sort of marketing tactics that will allow you to get into, you know, the hands of people that are your target audience, and allowing them to sort of speak to your brand in that sense, right? It's been effective for a lot of other businesses that are on a similar playing field to where you're at. And I feel like Alberta, given the outdoorsy nature of where we live, I feel like there's a lot of influencers out here that could probably support you quite well.
I'm a golfer, as I mentioned, and it's another area that you should consider, because golf is just a huge growing sport. And every person I know, except me, I don't eat granola bars, but every person I know has a granola bar in their bag, because when you're golfing, you're out there for 4.5-5 hours and you're exerting yourself. And it may not be mountain climbing, but people eat granola bars. So, you know, why wouldn't they want a good quality chocolate? That's another area, I think. And golf is huge now. It's just huge.
Well, Kristen, you might have found your first influencer. This is exciting. What did we just do?
Yeah, I think it's great because it speaks to the choices that you have to make as an entrepreneur as to where to place your focus. And so golf, absolutely. We consider golf, golfing, yoga, that kind of thing, our secondary consumer set. And when you've got limited resources, we've focused on our core, and now we're looking to expand into that secondary consumer set where we know there's a little bit more money, there's more time. Like you said, they're eating granola bars. Our bars are better than granola bars for you. So it's, again, it's just about making those choices. And again, that speaks to Hissam's point as well. It's absolutely, we haven't tried influencer marketing yet. And it's like one of the things that's top on my list this year, because we're not going to do the in-person thing that we did last year. We tried that. We understand how that worked for us, but now it's time to try something new. And that's influencer marketing, ad spend, all those other things, areas you can spend your money. And it's like, okay, what's going to work for us? And we think that influencer marketing is probably one of those things that will work for us.
So I'm just going to wrap it up, and I don't really have a question, but I just want to say that I'm really grateful for the Futurepreneur program, because as a tax accountant, I see the businesses that come out of there, and I have to say I've seen a lot of businesses do well and a lot of businesses fail, small businesses, and the ones that access this type of programming are the ones that do the best, because they learn things that they don't they don't already know, hands-on, practical, that kind of thing. So a big thumbs up to Futurepreneur. And Kristen, it sounds like you've gotten a lot out of it.
I appreciate that. I think our work is really to build capacity, right? If we're building capacity, I think we're on the right track as an ecosystem. So
I want to thank our listeners for joining us for another episode of Serenity Now. Hopefully you've heard something that can give you or another entrepreneur that you know some serenity now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and picked up some good tips and best practices that would benefit your entrepreneurial journey. Remember, none of the content in this podcast should be relied upon as standard legal or business advice. Always consult a professional for your specific business. You may know someone who could benefit from this podcast. Please share it with your business community, and perhaps it can give an entrepreneur you know some serenity now.